Welcome to the weekly podcast from City Light Church in Lethbridge. For more teaching or to find out more about life at CLC, please visit our website at citylightchurch.ca.
Hey, City Light Church. Hope you're all doing well. This COVID-19 virus is creating unprecedented changes to our life. Things like self-quarantining and social distancing is really impacting the life of our church. And we can all get caught up so easily in the throes of a panic mode. You know, in recent days, I've heard a lot of people say these words, and maybe you've said them yourself. And it's these words: I've never seen anything like this before. You know, certainly we are living in unprecedented and uncertain times. Many of us feel that we're literally on the brink as a nation and as a world on something so big. It's the unknown. It's the uncertainty. And researchers tell us that it's this sense of uncertainty that's causing a level of stress to rise up in many people that's so unhealthy. And it's literally slowly, and it can literally quite kill us. But you know, we need to remember that we are the people of God, that we can do something about this. You know, at the start of the year, I preached one of my first messages on the year 2020, and I said that the year 2020 would be a very pivotal year, that whatever happened this year would literally and could literally affect the next 10 years. But you know, what's happening right now can be a very fearful thing, but I want to say to you that 2020 is not meant to be a year of fear, but rather a year without fear. And so my message today is entitled, Fear Not, Fear Not. Today I want to give you 5 assurances in the midst of panic to help bring down this level of fear and anxiety and to help us deal with the stress. So here are 5 powerful things that we need to be assured of, things we need to remember. Number one, that we are a people of faith. It's the Apostle Paul that reminded the Corinthian believers with these words, for we live by faith and not by sight. See, we don't know the reasons for this infectious outbreak, how long it's going to last. But as pilgrims, as believers traveling through this world, you know, we live by faith. And as people of faith, we cling to our Lord Jesus Christ, who gives us the faith to trust him in uncertain times. So we are a people of faith. We're a people of hope. We are a people of love, but we are not to be a people of fear. And that's what Paul said to young Timothy in Timothy chapter 2 Timothy 1 verse 7. For God will never give you the spirit of fear, but the Holy Spirit, who gives you mighty power, love, and self-control. 2 Corinthians 4:18. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. There was an old Scottish professor, a preacher, James S. Stewart, not the old movie star, but the preacher professor, who made a helpful distinction between the unseen and the seen, between the foreground and the background of life. And he used this metaphor of a painting, an artist's painting. So he said that life is like a painting. It has both a foreground and it has a background. Well, the foreground of life are the things that are right in front of us, the things that we so easily focus on, the things that are right on top of us, the things that are seen. But there is another part of life called the background of life, which are the invisible, unseen spiritual realities. And these things are behind us, and often these things are beyond us. But just like the foreground and the background are the two parts of the very same painting, so the unseen and the seen, the physical and the spiritual, make up the portrait of our lives and the world. But here's the problem. The trouble is that too often in life, all we seem to focus on, all we seem to stay focused on, are the four things in the foreground of our life, which are the negative things, the immediate problems. And therefore, we lose sight of the divine, unseen, eternal background that's meant to put everything into the proper perspective. So the question is, what is our foreground? Well, here's our foreground. Our foreground right now is that the World Health Organization has officially declared the COVID-19 virus to be a pandemic. Our foreground right now is the frightening possibilities that's coming from the news reports almost every day. Our foreground right now is that this virus and all its effects that it's going to have on our society, on our economy, and our day-to-day living. You know, this is the foreground, but I want to remind you, it's only the foreground. There is a background to our life. There are divine spiritual realities and promises that are meant to put all this into the right perspective. And this is what Paul, this is what is saying and trying to show us here right in this passage. So he recognizes both the foreground and the background of life. And he's not trying to dismiss the foreground, our immediate needs and the cares, but he's wanting us to see that there's another part of the picture that's not the whole picture. He wants us to see our needs in the light of the colorful, dynamic backdrop of God's glorious grace, his fatherly character, and his incredible kingdom that we are a part of. See, number one, we are a people of faith. Number two, we are also a people of prayer. Prayer is so essential. Paul says to the anxious Philippian Christians, Philippians 4 verse 4, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And to the restless Thessalonians, in Thessalonians 5:17, he says two words, pray continually. You know, these letters remind us that we are a people of prayer. And that means we develop an attitude of dependence upon God, talking to him throughout the day and even throughout the night. Listen, I want you to know that we have a direct line to God. We have a direct prayer line to God. You know, when we were in Cabos, Mexico, Cabo San Lucas, we had a few more days in our vacation, but suddenly we heard the news from Canada, and the Prime Minister was asking all Canadians to come back to Canada before the flight borders closed. And so we had a small window of time to find an alternate flight before those borders closed, about a day and a half. So we started phoning WestJet to find an alternate flight for all three of us to come back. And it seemed like it was almost an impossible task. Every time we phoned, the line was busy, or there was a recording that said, just hold on, then our call would be dropped. And we just felt so frustrated. And we were literally in the throes of a panic mode. And it seemed like we phoned hundreds and even 1,000 times, and we barely got through and were able to get a flight. But I want to tell you that God's not like that. We have a direct line to God. He hears the instant that we get on our knees and we start pouring our hearts out to him. He hears us. You know, and that's what prayer does. It connects us to God. It's a relationship with God. We have a direct line to God. But, you know, there's another thing that we can do through prayer. It's through prayer that we express and we declare our faith, our trust, our hope in the midst of crisis. So in prayer, let's declare two things. There are two powerful things that you can declare. Declare the name of Jesus over your situation. Declare the power of his shed blood over your situation. You know, prayer covers us. Prayer protects us. When we pray over our families and over our lives, there's a covering of protection that God puts over our lives. You know, Jesus is building his church. And what I strongly believe today is that God is starting a prayer movement in his church like there's never been before. What's happening around us and around the world is making us go to our knees and to cry out to God. Jesus is building his church. You know, and the first thing that he saw when he entered the temple, the church in the New Testament, he saw a need. He saw the destiny of the church. And he said, my house is to be a house of prayer for all nations. We are a people of prayer. Number three, third reminder, third assurance is this, that we are the church. Jesus tells Peter, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not overcome it. And just think of it. Jesus said, I will build my church. Nothing will overcome his church. Nothing will crush it. Nothing will defeat God's church. Nothing will overcome it. Nothing will eliminate it. Nothing, not even viruses or your plague. You know, the church will remain into eternity. And I want to remind you today that the church is you. We're the people of God, the people redeemed by Jesus Christ. We are a unique, unconquerable group of believers, believers in Christ, the body of Christ. The church bands together. The church lives together. The church loves together. The church faces challenges together. Whether we're in the same room or we're online, we are connected together through Christ. Our connection is with Christ. And if our connection is with Christ, Christ wants us to connect to the church. And listen, if you're not a part of God's church, today you need to be a part of God's church. You need to connect to the church. Connect to a small group. You know, you can connect to our small groups online. Next week, we're launching our Zoom small groups, and you can be a part of our small groups. You don't have to be alone. You can be connected to God's strong, powerful, indestructible church. We are the church. Number four, you are part of the cure. You are part of the cure. We all have a role to play in quelling this virus by faith, by prayer. And as a church, we all want to be obedient. We want to be responsible citizens as we practice good hygiene, social distancing, and even exercising restraint as we avoid the hysteria like the hoarding of food and goods, etc. But listen, we can do even more. We can shine. We can be the salt and light that we were created to be. They say in the darkest hour, the light shines the brightest. We can shine and we can be generous. Listen to these words by Jesus in Luke's Gospel, chapter 11, verse 33. Jesus said, "No one lights a lamp and puts it in a place where it would be hidden or under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand so that all who come in may see the light." Then he goes on to say these words, "Your eye is the lamp of the body." When your eyes are healthy, and that word healthy is the Greek word which implies generosity. When your eyes are generous, your whole body also is full of light. But when your eyes are unhealthy, and that's the Greek word which implies stinginess, when your eyes are stingy, your body is also full of darkness. So see to it then that the light within you is not darkness. See, what he's saying is, see to it then that you are not stingy. See to it then that you have a generous attitude. See, you are part of the cure. God wants us to help others. God wants to use you through this crisis. I said before, many doors, many hearts will be open to hear the gospel message of God's love and God's hope and God's salvation. Many opportunities, mega opportunities, are going to come to us, the church, because people are afraid. People are in great need. People are insecure, scared for the future. And we as Christians, instead of fleeing from the situations, we can move forward to care for people in a way we've never cared for them before. I say, let's not be foolish. Let's be wise in the way that we do it, but let's respond in love in practical ways. Here at City Light Church, we have a ministry called CLC Cares, City Light Cares. And it's helping to meet the needs of people who need things like food and need help with their rent at times, or even pay for medicines. So what we want to do is we want to help people immediately by sending them food hampers. People are running out of food. So we want to put special food hampers together, and we want to help people with their medical needs. So I want to encourage you, please continue to give your tithes and your offerings. We need you to keep on giving. And now you can even give by e-transfer. You can give by mail. You can give by setting up a time at the office and to give by Interact. But in whatever way you give, when you give, be generous. Listen, you are part of the cure. And number five, one more assurance I want to give you, and it's a great assurance, and it's this, that God is sovereign. God is sovereign. God is ruler from Genesis to Revelation, from the early church until now. God is God. God is sovereign. You notice throughout the scripture that God is always addressed as sovereign Lord. God is ruler of law. He's absolute ruler. Nothing escapes his notice and nothing escapes his rule. You know, someone may ask this question, well, then why has a sovereign God allowed this virus to spread? And the answer is this: ever since the fall, our world has been experiencing the consequences of sin. But this does not diminish the sovereignty of God. I say this to you again. Yes, God is God. God is sovereign. Those who belong to God and those who belong to the kingdom need not fear. The future belongs to those who belong to God. So today you can put your trust, you can put your faith and you can put your trust in an unshakable God, and he'll give you an unshakable faith. And then you'll be able to say with the psalmist, Psalm 18 verse 2, the Lord is my rock and my fortress, my deliverer. My God is my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. You know, in the book of Acts, the resurrected Jesus stood and he appeared before the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul in that moment of his life was under great duress, great danger. He was discouraged and he was ready to give up. And Jesus stood beside him, and he told him to do this. Take courage. Take courage. The very same and very words that Jesus spoke before. He spoke that to a bedridden paralytic in Matthew chapter 9, verse 1 to 8. When he told that paralytic, take courage, my son, your sins are forgiven. He said those words to a woman who'd been suffering for 12 years of bleeding and hemorrhaging. He said to that woman in Matthew chapter 9, verse 22, take courage, daughter, your faith has healed you. In Matthew chapter 14, verse 27, he said to his frightened disciples, as he walked across the water, he said to them these words, take courage, it is I, do not be afraid. In John chapter 16, verse 33, in the upper room, the night before his betrayal, he said to his disciples, take courage, for I have overcome the world. In the very last gospel, in the very last chapter, Matthew's gospel, the last words that Jesus said to his disciples was this, and surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age. You know, as Christians, we have the responsibility and the privilege of preaching the good news, sharing the good news to people, sharing the life and the death and the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's the message of hope. It's what people need to hear. We are the church and God is our God. And because of that, we can have hope, we can have faith, we can have confidence, even in the midst of panic. So let's hold on to these five powerful reminders and assurance of God's goodness and God's protection over our life. And if you agree with that, will you say amen? Amen. Amen. You know, today I want to finish by praying a prayer covering over you. But first of all, I want to give you two reminders. Number one, if you need prayer for any need, you can call one of the numbers on the screen. Secondly, if you're not a part of the small group, join us. Join us in one of our small Zoom small groups that are going to meet online, actually starting next week. So let's connect. You can connect on Facebook, connecting by calling the church office. It's so good to be with you today. And now I want to pray with you. So can we just bow our heads and just agree with me in prayer? Father God, I pray for our church family. I declare the power of your name and your blood that covers every man, every woman, every child, and every child in the room. Father, we pray for our church. And we pray for anyone who is sick. Anyone that is sick, by faith right now, we lay our hands upon them. And we declare that by your stripes, you are healed. And this prayer that we offer up in faith will heal the sick person. And now, Father, let the peace and the presence of God permeate our minds and our hearts. And I declare over our body, over everyone watching today, the Lord bless you and the Lord keep you and the Lord make his face shine upon you. In Jesus' name, I pray. Now, before we go, I just want to say to someone here today that might be watching, maybe you've never received Christ, never invited him into your heart, but this is your opportunity. This is the most important decision you will ever make in your life. So if you want to make that decision, you want to receive Christ, you want to receive eternal life, you want to weigh into heaven, Then just repeat these words after me. Are you ready for this? Let's pray. Lord Jesus Christ, thank you for dying on the cross and shedding your blood to pay for my sins. Today, Lord, I agree. I admit that I am a sinner. Please forgive me for every sin I've ever committed. And today, I invite you into my heart to be Savior and Lord of my life.